Hare Krishna.
Yeah, the designer is showing that Krishna is also creative. Actually, you know, this little tent is like a place where there is one workshop after another, and everyone is in every corner is doing something. Like just there, we see some different things appearing. I saw a sky, at least it was blue. I guess it was a sky. It was on top and it was blue, so, you know, probably a sky. And then there is some sort of contour of a person with some background.
Painter.
Oh, cool. Somebody is painting a painter. So, like this, that's creative. That's absolutely creative. But that's only a small tent. But just think of Krishna, the whole world is the place where he uses his creativity. And everything in different forms and shapes and colors and tastes, and there's endless variety to it. And that is why we can appreciate this world. You know, in some philosophies, there is a really hard distinction made between spirituality and material life. It's like, when you want to become spiritual, you have to give up the world. You have to enter into a cave. You have to just completely withdraw, because this world is the opposite of spirit. That's the idea behind it. But that's not the way we see it. The way we see it is that this world is a work of art, and Krishna is the artist behind it. He's the painter of this world. Right? So that's why her artist is now becoming blue on the painting. It must be. Because Krishna is the painter of this world. It is a fact. So, once we see like that, Prabhupada, our spiritual master, used to say that it's not the painting that is the most important, it's the painter. Because the painting tells us something about the artist. It reveals something about the artist. So look behind. The two go together. It's obvious that when you look at a book, these days, in the study of literature, there are modern techniques. And modern techniques are that a text is independent. The text speaks for itself. You just take the text, and whatever you read in the text, that's what the text is doing with you. And it's great. So in this way, even if the writer never intended that, doesn't matter, if you read it in it, you're expanding the meaning of the text. You can play with text like that. But you can also do something else. You can actually look at, like, who is the writer of this book? And what is this writer like? What does he believe? What does he stand for? And if you actually look at the writer behind the book, you understand the book much better. You understand better what went into it. So in that way, Prabhupada said, when you look at the design of this world, don't just look at all the design, the beauty of nature, or the amazing features that we see in human culture, whatever it may be, look at Krishna behind. And that is, then we can see that, like, Krishna is a very creative personality that we can understand. And that is reassuring. You know, imagine, I'm not sure if I would want to go to a heaven and eternally do the same thing. Without wanting to, but if the picture is that I will go to a heaven forever, and there I will fan the Lord forever. I'm kind of like, okay, is there anything else? No, we're going to find him forever. Forever? It's a long time. I mean, sometimes you do something. No, fan forever. I'm not sure if I would sign for that. But if we actually see that Krishna is full of creativity, and that even something like fanning Krishna is a new experience every day. It's not the same old thing. It's not Monday to Friday. There's nothing like that. It is actually an always new experience. And that is the essence. So when we're in the design and we see Krishna's creativity, then it's fun. Talking about fun, another thing I appreciate is that God has a sense of humor. Now, this is really important for me. If religion would get too serious, I don't know if I could last. I mean, but thank God that he makes jokes. Krishna has a sense of humor. Krishna is playful. Krishna is in that way, is having fun. It's not that Krishna, he's the supreme controller. He's the designer. He's behind everything. But it's not that he has to do it all himself, with a big supercomputer and control S in DB, right? Okay, we got some sunshine in Durban. Or that he has to manage the whole universe. Imagine if God would have to manage the whole universe. He'd be working overtime, right? He would never have a holiday because it never stops. But it is not like that. Everything simply goes on by his desire and by his energies. So he has many energies, and these energies, they just work on their own. So he is free. Krishna is free. He doesn't have to work. He doesn't have a job. Krishna, he's free to have fun. And that is what he does. That's what it's about. He's enjoying. He is playing. He is young. But not playing with toys. Oh yes, he has some toys. But the toys in themselves are not the purpose. In this world, so many people play with toys. Hand glider. In Cape Town, you can see them come down the mountain. In our Rati Yatra, they land just next to the Rati Yatra cart. Or some people, in Soweto, we go to our temple, and on the other side of the road, they're playing pool, There's a bar, a garage bar, and they're playing pool. So much playing, but some people play in the pool. Yes? Playing, so many ways to play. And then the things that we are playing with, they become everything for us. A ball, a golden ball. Oh yes. Pure gold. 24 karat gold. So we play. We play with diamonds and we play with our life. Because sometimes it becomes empty. It becomes empty just playing with these toys. So you can jump from a plane, free fall. Hey, free fall. And only at the last minute, just before you hit the ground, you pull the string of your parachute. Wanna try? Huh? Are you ready to dive from the plane? Come on. Hey, let's go. Some people, they like to stay on the ground. He likes the ground. Alright, but we play. So some people play with their life. And why is it? Because it gets empty to just play with toys. Well, whether it's a dinky toy or whether it's a sports car, it's still a toy. Same thing. So we are playing. Krishna also plays. And he uses many things. But the things that he uses are really meant to play with the hearts of people. Because that's what he's doing. That's what Krishna is doing. He simply plays with the hearts of people. And his whole design is just for that purpose. Actually. That's his whole purpose. Now that's not uncommon for artists. Because artists are trying to bring out. They're trying to bring out something that touches our heart. So ultimately, and if art doesn't touch the heart, then it's just pretty useless, you know. I mean, you have this kind of art, right? Art that's just sort of randomly, things are stuck on a canvas with some glue. Of course, it all tells a story. I understand. If you take some cigarette butts and you stick it with glue on a canvas, and it tells a story. It does tell a story. A sad story, by the way. But so it does touch the heart. It makes you feel a little sad. So we can see that all design and all art ultimately is aiming at that. To interact with the heart. And where an artist really captures the heart, right? That's where art begins to speak and becomes meaningful and becomes recognized as this is a great, great work of art. So this is how we see what Krishna is doing. And then we don't have to go away from the world. Then we don't have to say, oh, this world, it's all matter, it's all illusion, it's all to be given up. Let's go into the cave. No, we don't need to go into the cave. We can stay in the world and we can see the things of the world. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's an interesting reference which says that when we see beauty in this world, know it to be the smile of Krishna. And I think that's very interesting, you know. Because a smile means welcome, supposedly, hopefully. But that's the idea. Smiling is a symptom of welcoming others. And therefore, when we see Krishna smile in this world, then we see a welcome in this world. We see how Krishna is welcoming us, and he's welcoming us to a much greater world of beauty. This world is not only beauty, it's not only nice, it's like there are smells that are unsmellable, right? And there are sounds that are just like agony. There are sights you don't want to see. No? Someone was telling me they went to Disney World to experience a near-death experience, and what it does, they were going in an elevator, and it was going down, and it was going very fast, and it made you feel like it was going in free fall. And then while you're going like that, have that experience, the doors open, and then you get different scary things, you know, coming out at you, and not only in the front, but sometimes also in the back. So it's terrible. It's obviously the kind of stuff, you know, that could lead to heart attacks or whatever. I mean, you wouldn't get me into it even if you paid me for it. But anyway, they went into it. I don't like stuff like that at all. Stuff that gets on your nerves. He did this experience, and you're supposed to do it twice. And the first time it's all shock, and then you see it the second time you're sort of able to deal with it. Anyway, the second time is just as bad as the first time. So he said he failed the test. But it is a fact that so the world has many things that are not pleasant. And that is really indicating that this world is not home. Right? It's not our home. You may kiss the ground of the place of your birth. This land is where I was born. This is where I lived my whole life. This is where I played. This is my brother was in this tree. This tree is still there. This is the house where I grew up. Oh, so many things we experienced here. But it can be strange when there's other people living now in the house where you grew up. And you know, what are these people doing in our house? I don't know if you've moved, but I have. And I walked past the house where I grew up instead of these strange people lived in our house, my house. What are these people doing in our house? I thought, shall I ring the doorbell and tell them that I used to live there? But all dressed up like a Hare Krishna, I decided that it might be something like an elevator experience for these people in free fall. So I didn't do it. But, so in this world, we get attached to so many things and we feel we have a home. But if we look at it more carefully, then even in the home, there are so many things. I was in that house and I remember how my finger got in between the door of the cellar. I remember that quite well. Everything. I can still sort of feel it now. It's as I'm talking about it. Yeah, it was intense. So it wasn't all sweet in home, sweet home. It was whatever it was a place where there was happiness and distress. And tell me, where in this world is no happiness and distress? You may think that the sky is not that good, but I assure you, you're okay on the ground. You think you're safe on the ground? Maybe, maybe not. No guarantee. But there, the insurance company showed a poster. And the poster, in one poster, it showed everything, as a cartoon, showed everything that can possibly go wrong. So the kids were playing with matches and set fire to some part of the house. Someone had left the tap open in the bathroom and a waterfall was coming down the staircase. And some other part of the house, somebody was falling out of a window. I mean, you know, a car drove into the garden. I mean, it was just, the whole poster was one big accident. Just one big accident. But all these things can happen. That's why people have an insurance. My father had so many insurances that in the end he said, I have no more money. I said, you no money? How is this? He just paid insurance, 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 insurance. But still, he died. He died, what can I say? He's late. Not just late for the program, but late if you know what I mean. So, what to do? So when we look a little deeper, and when we look at the design of this world, then we are fools when we call this world home. So what Krishna does, he puts amazing things into this world. In the midst of many things that are not attractive, he puts really wonderful things. And these wonderful things are there to remind us, come, come, come home, come home. To a world which is wonderful, where you belong, which is according to your nature. You don't fit in a world of suffering. You don't belong there. You're not meant to suffer. You're not meant to die because you don't want to. You don't have to. You can be eternal because you are eternal. So come and be in a place where you can be yourself, your eternal self, instead of in a place where you want to be eternal. And then you have to die. And it's a bit of a complication, personally, I feel. I'd rather skip it if I could, you know. If that could be a deal, then I wouldn't have to die, I would sign for that. I'm dying right here. It looks like one more. I have a tissue to save the day. It minutes from yesterday from the kirtan. Some people shake their head about my kirtan. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that the spiritual world is a world which is exactly according to our nature. There we fit. And this world is not a world according to our nature. Here, it is a fight. Life is a battle, a struggle for survival, right? Survival of the fittest. There's competition. There is a, you know, there's our, we struggle with our own bodies. I struggle in the morning to get out of bed, and then it goes somehow or other, crank up the old machine and keep on going. So there's struggle from the body, there's struggle from other living entities. Oh yes. What people don't do to you, or there are snakes, there are scorpions, we saw in the play. There are all kinds of creatures. So the point is, it's not all sweet. Here, life is a fight. It's a fight. In the spiritual world, the world is exactly, we fit completely. Therefore, what are we doing here? There's a story in the Vedic literature that Indra, who was the god of heaven, was living in a wonderful world. But then once Indra upset Brahma, he became cursed to go down to earth and become a hawk. And then Indra was down as a hawk on this planet earth, and he was just living there in a mud pool with all his little piglets and his pig wives. I guess more than one, and eating nice fresh stool and all these things. So Brahma, you know, in Vrindavan we see in some places, in poor areas, they have no toilet, and the kids sit outside in the morning at the road and have a little stick to chase away the pigs, because the pigs in the street, they like it hot. Anyway, it's true. I see. It's terrible, but it's true. It's a picture of real life. So Indra was a pig, and Brahma was seeing this and said, "This is too much. This is just too much." Indra is now living this terrible sub-quality life, and that is Indra. He said, "Okay, I'll go back and tell Indra. Indra, it's enough. It's enough now, you can return." So Indra was told, "Indra, you can return now to your original position." Indra said, "Oh no, I can't go. No, no, I can't go. I have my little piglets and I have all my lovely piggy wives. How can I leave? No, no, no. I cannot go." So, and he continued to suffer. And we are just like that. We are here, and we, oh, how I love this place. Meanwhile, we suffer from the body, suffer from other living beings, suffer from natural circumstances. Isn't it hot and sticky? I think it is sticky. Not so hot, but sticky, definitely. Yeah, so everyone smells, everyone is a little uncomfortable, the clothes are too tight, and it's just... they stick also to the body. It's just, it's Durban. And it's like, it's normal. It's the way you live in Durban. So, my point is, if we look at the design and look a little deeper as what is the purpose of the designer, then we see that the designer has put beauty into this design, and he's put suffering into design. Why? The beauty is to attract us to a world which is perfect, and the suffering is to give us a little push. Get out of here. Get out of here as soon as possible. And how to get out of here is simply by chanting Hare Krishna. That is also put into the design. And so within the design there are devotees. And these devotees actually give us the way out of the material world, and then we return back to the spiritual world. And that is actually the real meaning of the design. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, listening, listening. It is easier to speak than to listen. Speakers can go on forever, listeners get tired. So, my time's up, and we are now seeing again what Chiranji is cooking on the stove, in this tent. It's very creative, and they keep on cooking up new things. Meanwhile, the paintings are going well, and Nalin's painting is indeed Krishna designing the material world as a painter. It's pretty good. I want a picture of it and use it in as an illustration. I'm going to check out when Yogi is drawn. Yeah, that's what happened to the sky.